Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf ayin, and we're holding roughly six lines from the bottom of the Amid on Samach Tes Amid Beis, where the Gemara brings a story about Ilfa Tolanafshe Beiskaria de Makusa. The Gemara really only is bringing now the tail end of a much larger and richer, more fascinating story, which is discussed at some length in Mesechtes Tanis on Daf Chaf Aleph. Just by coincidence, I happen to have a Gemara Tanis with me, and just going reading between the lines, like we had yesterday, that when Rav sent his letter, he wrote between the lines. The Gemara tells us in Daf Chaf Aleph that Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan have a garsi b'oyraisa. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were learning Torah. Apparently, they were learning Torah b'chavrusa or together. The chikalu milza tuva, and unfortunately, parnasa was a problem. Ein kol chodesh tachas hashamesh, right? Parnasa in every generation is a problem. Amri said, they both said to each other, Nekam and Ezel, Meneved, Iskam and Akayim, Benafshin. You know, we've learned in Koil now for the last 5, 10, 20 years. Now it's time to make Parnasa, and we'll be Makayim the Pasik. Efes, Kilo Yeh, Becho Evyoin. That there shouldn't, Chas HaSholem, be anyone impoverished among us. Everybody should, Baruch Hashem, have Parnasa. And Ozlu be Usvi, Tuse Guder Yeh. They went and sat down next to a wall which was not totally stable. Have a karchi rifta, and they were eating next to that wall, sitting down. Also, three malachi asharis, and two malachim came. Shami Rabbi Yochanan, the Omer Chad Lechavrei. Rabbi Yochanan overheard a conversation between the two angels, between the two malachim. What did they say? Nishti Olayu Haiguda. You know what? We should go and give a shtip, little push to this wall, that it should fall on these two great rabbis, Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, v'niktalinu, and chas v'sholem, they should pass away. Shemeinichin chaye olam haba v'oiskin b'chaye shah. They're leaving, learning, and living olam haba by learning Torah, and they want to go and be busy with materialistic stuff here on this world. Omalei, so the other malach responded, shavkinu, leave them alone. The ikabu chad, one of them, Kaimale Shata will be Zoicha, the Remir Tashem, he will return to the fold, he'll stay immersed in Chai Olam Haba, and he will not leave it for Chai Olam Hazeh. So Rabbi Yochanan overheard this conversation, Omale Rabbi Yochanan Ilfa, Shoma Marmid, did you hear anything? No, Malaylom, no, I didn't hear anything. Omar Rabbi Yochanan said, Midishami Ano of the Ilfa Loishama, since I heard this discussion, and he didn't hear it, Shma Manila Didi Kaimali Shata. They must have been referring to me. Because if the message was intended for Bnei Odom to hear, so then I wouldn't have heard it. Ilfa would have heard it. Or both of us would have heard it. The fact that I heard it and he didn't, apparently, HaKadosh Baruch was sending me a message, I should stay from learning. And Omalei Rabbi Yochanan, Ihadir, I'm going to return to the Bismedish, Boki Ben Afshoy, and I'm going to be Mekayim another Pasik. Kilo Yechtal Evyoy Mikerev Oretz. There'll never be a time in history where there won't be aniyim v'evyoinim among the ranks of Klal Yisrael. And I'll be one of those guys. Unfortunately, I won't have parnasa. But I'm going to return to the Bris Medrash. Rabbi Yochanan Hodar, Rabbi Yochanan returned. Ilfa Lai Hodar, Ilfa said, Arrivederci, au revoir.
Sayonara.
Sayonara, l'hitra'ot. And he left the Kois of Bris Medrash. And Ilfa went on a trip, presumably to make parnasa. Adi Osa Ilfa, by the time Ilfa returned, Malach Rabbi Yochanan, not only Rabbi Yochanan had stayed in the Koisle HaYeshiva, but he was promoted, upgraded to become the Rosh Yeshiva. Amrulai. So now, supporters and family members and friends of Ilfa said to him, you know what? Yosef Mar Vigoris, if you would have stayed Bamlernin together with Rabbi Yochanan, we have a Malach Mar. You would probably have become the great Rosh Yeshiva, and it's a shame that you left prematurely and that Rabbi Yochanan became Rosh Yeshiva. So he, Ilfa, now felt bad about the circumstances. And then our Gemara now quotes from that Gemara there. Ozel tola nafshi biskai desvinta. He went on the top of a ship where they have a mast, long pole on which they have on it the flag of the ship, the mast of the ship. I'm sorry?
Crow's nest, maybe.
The crow's nest? Okay, I'm
that's
not sure.
Way up the top.
All the way in. Okay. So he went all the way to the crow's nest on top of the mast of the ship. And Omar, and he called out, he proclaimed, Meimas Nisan. If anybody's going to ask me about a braisa, Reb Chiya, Reb Oishia, and I won't be able to go and show him a makor, a source in the Mishnah, Nafilna Measkari Desvinta Bitavana, then I'm going to go and jump down or fall down from the crow's nest at the top of the mast into the water, and I will go and essentially Chas v'Shalom commit suicide. Anyway, that's where the Gemara continues, and our Gemara Baruch Hashem now quotes from that Gemara in Tana. So we have now the thank you. You can put it here if you want. Now we have the background. Says our Gemara Ilfa Tola Nafshi Biskari Debkusu, were 6 lines from the bottom of Samach Tes Amud Beis. Robbie, thank you for joining us all the way from London. Thank you, David, for joining us. Anyway, so what does it say in the Gemara? So Ilfa, remember, he was the study partner, if you will, of Rabbi Yochanan. So when he heard the bad news that Rabbi Yochanan was upgraded and appointed Rosh Yeshiva and he was not, he felt bad. And Rashi says the point of this going to the top of the mast of the ship was to go and declare, Raboisai, I may no longer be sitting b'koisle b'smedish, but don't think I don't learn. I continue, Baruch Hashem, to learn and to chazer, and I have not forgotten what I learned. I continue with the daf. I learn other siddurim. Even though I'm working, I am learning at the same time. So, to prove his point, he went to the top of the mast of the ship, and Amr Ika, the Ossi, the Amali Milza, the Beir, Rabchi, Rab Oishia. If somebody's going to go and ask me about one of the braises of Rabchi, Rab Oishia, and here Rashi points out, it's a Gemara elsewhere as well, that the braises of Rabchi, Rab Oishia were considered to be the most authoritative, and that's why if an Amoira was asked a kasha from a braise, if it's just a regular braise, the Amoira could say, I'm sorry, I never heard of that braisa, or even if I heard of the braisa, maybe it's not authoritative. However, if it's a braisa of Reb Chiya Reb Oishia, those were triple A, triple star. Sorry?
Hashkacha.
Hashkacha?
Yeah,
curated.
Okay, so they were really the top of all the braises and all the teseftas, and therefore we can rely that those are reliable and authoritative. And now Ilfa is telling us that any one of their braises, I can go and find a makor, a source in a Mishnah. Of course, if there's no source in a Mishnah, that means there's a problem with that braise. But I'm telling you, there are no problems. Reb Chiya Reb Oishia's braises, those are Menuka Shivasoyim, they were the best and of all the braises and the most refined, and therefore you can go and rely on them, and I'll go and show you a makor, a source from the Mishnah.
What's this connection of this to the previous Gemara we were learning?
You'll see momentarily. You're very welcome. It's Zok the Gemara. So if you can't go and show me if you ask me a braise, if I can't go and find a makor, nefilim miaskaria, then I will come down from the top of that mast, I'll jump off, I'll go into the water, etc. It's also who's Saba. So now a Saba came. And of course, Barry's now immediately got to tell us who's the Saba.
The exception is Eliyahu Navi.
Oh, very good. So Eliyahu Navi comes. Apparently, nobody else took him up on his offer. So Eliyahu Navi asked him, Tonale, we have a Braisa. Braisa of Raboishia, of Rabchiv Raboishia. Oy metnu shekel libni bishabas. Uruin litin lehem sela, nois lehem sela. What's going on? You have a person, Nebuch, who's about to pass away, and he takes an apotropos or a sholish, and he asks him, do me a favor, I want you to be in charge of my children. My children are all ketanim, and therefore I can't rely on them to spend money wisely. Not that you can rely on gedolim to go and spend it wisely, but certainly not on ketanim. So I want you to be in charge. And I want you every single day to go and supply them with mezainis, with food, so that, Baruch Hashem, they should be well taken care of. And after they become bar mitzvah, they come older, and then you can go and hand over the administration of the estate to them. Okay, so he tells this apotropos, Tenu shekel of ni b'shabbos, go and give my son, or perhaps it's libonai, to my sons, give them a shekel for a Shabbos, meaning for a whole week. With that shekel, they'll be able to go and buy meals every day and be able to go and support themselves in terms of food. V'ruyin litin lehem sela. However, they really need a sela to exist, meaning that presumably when the father said, give a shekel, that was the market rate and that was sufficient. The father didn't anticipate that prices would go sky high and there would be tremendous inflation, and that even gas that used to be $2.50 became $5 a gallon, and therefore he didn't know that there's going to be this terrible rate increase. And therefore, although he said give a shekel a bonai, they really need a seller. Seller is twice a shekel. In other words, a shekel is a half a seller. And therefore, the apotropis realizes they don't have enough money to get till Shabbos. They eat up all the money by Wednesday. So Noislam seller, then he should in fact increase it and give them what they need for a whole week's provisions for Mizinus. What happens if the father gave him a warning and said, "Al titnu lem shekel, only give a shekel"? Hey, no islam a shekel. Then you only give a shekel, even though prices have gone sky high and there's not enough. Nope, they're just gonna have to somehow survive. V'im omar im meisu yirshu achirim tachteim. What happens if he says that if my son or if my son's chas v'sholom pass away, what's going to happen with the Yerusha? Then I want you to go and give that Yerusha to the following Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Rabbi and Mrs. Jones, Dr. and Mrs. Goldberg. I want you to go and give them the Yerusha. In such a case, it's what we call, I believe, a residuary estate. We have one of the world's greatest tax estates and trust and estates attorneys with us. He can tell us about residuary estates. And he says, what do you do with that residuary estate? Ben she'omer tenu, ben she'omer al tenu. So both, whether he said tenu, in other words, tenu shekel abonai, where normally we say give a seller, or ben she'omer al tenu, if he said only give them a shekel, in all situations, ein nois lahem el a shekel. What's the reason why, says Rashi? Because since the father already stipulated in advance that if my chas v'sholom, my sons pass away, and I want you to go and give to the following people to go and yarshin them that residuary estate, whatever remained. Oh, so obviously he had already designed at that time that those other people should yarshin. So if the apotropos is now going to go and increase the amount that he gives to his children, by definition, there'll be less left for the residuary estate just in case they pass away. So therefore, you should follow instructions to the T, only give a shekel, regardless of the circumstances. Anyway, this is a beautiful braisa. It's Reb Chiya Bravoishia. The question is, where do we find this in the Mishnah? Amalei, Hamani Reb Meiri, said Ilfo all the way from the top of the Iskarta. He was probably calling out with a bullhorn or something, and he was telling them, Rabbi, Dos unser Mishnah. And now we answered Barry's question. How does this Gemara get here? I mean, it's a fascinating Gemara, but what's the connection? And the connection is, it's the Meir of our Mishnah. Now, what did the Meir say in our Mishnah? So if you go back to the Mishnah on Samach Tes Amid days, about a third down the Amid, we had a situation where Hamashlish, you don't have to turn, unless if you have an art scroll, you have to go out 25 pages, but here, it's on the same.
You have an art scroll, it's
the Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hu give us a bracha, we don't have to miss 20 pages. Good. Anyway, so what does it say in the Mishnah? Hamashlish mo'is lebitoy. A person left with a shalish, with a third party, money for his daughter. Vihi oimeres, and what was the purpose of that money? So we learned already yesterday in the Mishnah and in Rashi that he told that shalish, my daughter is still young, she's eventually going to get married, I want to make sure she has a nadin. So you know what? Here is money. When you find a good real estate investment, go and buy a good piece of real estate. So then afterwards, she'll be able to bring it into the chasana. This will entice young men to go and propose to her. And then the young men will be able to go and get the peyrois. And this will be a great thing. Okay. The father passes away. The sholish has the money. And one day the daughter knocks on the door and says, did you ever buy the property? Not yet. We're almost there. Well, she says, I want you to know, we're about to get married. Good news. Instead of going and buying the property, why don't you go and transfer the funds to me or to my husband, and we'll buy the property. I mean, that's the whole purpose over there. My husband is a real estate expert. He knows the market. He knows Zillow perfectly. So come and send over the money. He oimeres nemen al bali alai, says Remeir, yase hasholish mashuushlish biyodei. Remeir says, do not transfer the funds to the chosen kala. He should go and fulfill to the T exactly what Tati said, Tati and the T, and that is to go and buy the property and then hand over the pie, move out of the way, and give the property to the Chusen Kala, Divremeh. But Rabbi Yossi said, no, V'chiyen el esoda. The whole purpose of this is to go and buy a field. What would happen if the Shalosh would have already bought the field? And he now hands over that field, lock, stock, and barrel to the Chusen Kala. V'roitz l'moichin, she said, that field, I prefer something else. She can go and sell it. And therefore, if that's the case, what doesn't? It's not sensible to go and suggest having the Sholish go and perform his duties, go and buy the property, because then he's going to transfer the property. She may not be happy, and she might liquidate it. So don't go through all of these brokers' fees and commissions. Just go and give the money, and they'll decide what they want to buy in the first place. So that was a machloikis in our Mishnah. And you remember the Gemara discussed whether or not so by Minaeris and Minanisuin, by a Ketana, by a Gedoyla. But bottom line, what do we see from our Mishnah? That our mayor holds that mitzvah lekayim divrei hames. Even though logically Rabbi Yossi is right, you're going to buy a field, you're going to hand it over, they might decide to liquidate it on the same day. That's not the Sholish's problem. The Sholish's mission is to go and follow to the T what the father said. And the father said, buy a property. And that's what I'm going to do. After I finish doing that, I'm completing my shlichus and I'm off. And that's what we call mitzvah kind of your mess. And in fact, if you remember, Rashi used that expression as well. Rashi is about 12 lines into the narrow lines. Yasi sholish, this is yesterday's tomorrow. Yikna hasod of ein shoymin loh. The mitzvah kayim divrei hames. Now, Ilfa all the way at the top of the Iskarta, the Makusa, screams out down below, this brisa that we just quoted about the father that left over Mizoinus, give a shekel, or only give a shekel. What do we tell the apotropis in this situation? We tell him, go and follow exactly what the father said. Except if it was through shekel abdi, and he sees that they're never hungry, then he can go and be moisif. But if he says, I'll tell them, only give a shekel, don't give a penny more, even if they say that they're hungry. So this is a mayor. The mitzvah kind to be a mess. Oh, so therefore that's how Ilfa was able to prove I have a makar for this brisa from Rame.
Ilfa had Rashi apparently because he knew that's what he doesn't say in our Mishnah. But
exactly, Ilfa had Rashi. No question.
Zokimar
Omar of Chista Omar of Ukva Hilchasa Bein Shomatenu Bein Shomat Altenu Nois Lehem Called Tzarchom. It really makes no difference if he said tnu shekel lebonai and it's not enough, or he said al tnu ella shekel lebonai and it's not enough. In all cases, noislem kol tzarchem, give them what they need, and therefore, if they need a sella, give them a sella. 1 second.
Okay.
That's just the opposite of what we just said. Now we just said okay, and halachi remeir the amit lekam de riemes, and remeir said when you mekam de riemes, and what did the brayse say of raboishia and rabchia that make sure if the father said al titnu lehem ella shekel, only give him a shekel. And you're telling me that if there's not enough to go around, titnu lehem kol tzarchem. You're going against the very halacha that we just paskin like Rameyer. What's going on? If you're talking about in any other situation, like our Mishnah, avada follow Rameyer, mitzvah kind of a mess and everything is great. In the case of the food, meinach nichalei. Father up in heaven, if you were able to go and send them an email and get a response, you could send, but you can't get a response that easily. If you were able to ask him, he would say, Avada, my children are starving, there's not enough food in the home, sure, go and give him a sella. Aye, but didn't he say, Al titnu lehem el shekel? Hodi omer hachi, lizerus zinu, hu di asa. He wanted to even mizarez them. In other words, says Rashi, that he wanted them to go and be careful with their money. They shouldn't go and spend all their funds and go and have these luxury dinners every day, an 8-course meal, and top it off with a beautiful Napoleon at the end with icing on top, and spend all of their money eating and eating and eating. He wanted them to go and eat normally, not overeat, and not engage or indulge in luxuries. And if you're not able to get by with only a shekel, no, scrape together, go and minimize perhaps a little, cut a little bit each meal, and maybe you can go and get a job on the side, go and get. Anyway, so the point is that he wanted to go mizarism, that they should they have a business sense to go and work and make money and not have to
incentivize
rely on
them.
Incentivize, that's the right term. Shkoich, thank you. And therefore, but the emes in the depths of his heart, if you would go and tell the father, but after everything is said and done, they're talking being careful and they're not eating like gluttons, they're not fressers and essers, they're doing what a normal person would do, but they still don't have enough money, Avada, father from heaven would say, yeah, go and give them more money so they should have enough to eat.
So this is not like the Braisa.
That is correct. We are that halacha said Rav Chizom Rav Ukva. We do not follow the exact lashon of Braisa when he said ein al tit lehem ela shekel, only give them a shekel. He said no. In a normal circumstance, not in our case, when it's not involving the zoinois, follow the father's command to the T. But over here, we're going to look behind the words. We're going to try to unearth what was father's kavanah.
Even Rameir would agree in this case?
Not necessarily.
He doesn't say what Rameir would say. Yeah. He's just saying, even though Hakaim learned, look, Rameir, but nevertheless, we feel that he only meant that, or he only said that, or we're only going to adopt his teaching, the Midach Naisa. In a case like this, presumably even Rameir would agree, but we don't know for sure what Rameir would have said.
When we say Mizainis, we mean Mizainis Dafka, or do we mean...
We don't mean cake. We mean...
No, do we mean...
Two meals
or
a day.
Do we mean basic...
Provisions.
Meaning... If do we treat basic clothing and a roof over your head like mezainis, or what's included in mezainis?
Mezainis, strictly speaking, only means food. Now, we had a Mishnah earlier on that talked about that besides food, you also have to go and give clothing. But that's already a separate chiyuv. In our case, our prices don't discuss those chiyuv. Only talks about the chiyuv of the mezainis. And distinguishes between if he said titnu, al titnu. But in terms of the clothing, you could presumably have a similar type of discussion, but the Braisa doesn't address it. We had a mission.
Shoes every rego.
Yeah, it really wasn't talking about the children as much as we're talking about the mother, the wife. But it's a similar concept, because if you had the banan nukva, that you have to supply children.
My question here is
yes, keep on going.
The idea here seems to be, well, any father wouldn't want to see the child starving.
Avada.
So that would seem to apply equally to any of what we consider basic human needs.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. The Mishnah Samach Dalet Amud Beis spoke about vis-a-vis Ishtar, but the same thing would apply vis-a-vis the children of Chayra, where there it says that if you leave money with a shalish, then to support the wife, so in terms of mezoinis, don't give less than shnei kavan chitim abo kavan tzoyrim. And then when you spoke about clothing, going down to the first, right before the wide lines, ultimately mita mapetz machzelis, you have to have a bed to be able to sleep in. Benoisla kippa l'roisha, have a cap, a hat, a tichel, something for the head. Chagor masneh, you have to have either a belt or an apron. Menalayim, you have to have shoes 3 times a year. Kalim Shav Chamisham Zuz, you have to buy new clothing once a year, at least of Chamisham Zuz, and buy warm clothing during the winter, and it could be softer and thinner clothing for the summer, and so on and so forth, we had there in the Mishnah. So there are other basic needs. That was Samach Dalet Amud Beis, 64b. It's only about 25, 30 pages back. Anyway, so the same concept you would have about Chum as well. So now getting back to our Gemara, and we're 7 or 8 lines from the top of the Amid, Tanan Hasam. We have another Mishnah. Vushtet in the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah either later on in our Masechta or Lova Basra. It says in the Mishnah, Ha'pu'utois mekchon mekach u'memkron mecher b'metalklon. Pu'utois means small children. These small children, we don't mean 3-year-olds or 5-year-olds. Excuse me, Rashi says we're talking about 8 or 9 years old. Where obviously they don't have the full maturity of a bar mitzvah boy, but nevertheless they're more mature than a 3-year-old or 5-year-old. So now if they want to, the Chacham gave them the power, even though they ein lehem das halachically, but they have enough daya that if they want to go and buy or sell metaltalin, that's okay. So for instance, these youngsters, 8 or 9 years old, he comes to a bakery and he says to the baker, I'd like to buy a loaf of bread. The banker shouldn't tell him, well, you're not bar mitzvah yet, and therefore your mecher is garnished, and I can't take the money from you because it's not effective. No. You can take the money. Their transactions in metalklin, that is okay. So what's the problem? By the way, it says only metalklin, Rashi said, because when you talk about karka, they'd have to at least be bar mitzvah. So Mark continues on, Omer Rav from Loisharu, that we say that the pehutois mekchon mekach, that staff kelish ain't shema apotropis. There's nobody else in charge. Aviyeshema apotropis, if the father or the court or or someone appointed apotropos, ein mekar mekar, ein memkar mekar, then what these children are doing has absolutely no legal validity whatsoever. Why? Because we learn at the end of the Mishnah that we quoted before, again back on Samach Tes Amid Peis, this whole discussion was by a gdoila, in other words, a girl that's already at least an Arab, if not a boikris. Says the Gemara, what was that Mishnah talking about? A case of a Sholish. And the Gemara assumes that a Sholish and apotropos are basically synonymous terms. And so therefore, if it says when you have a Sholish, ain't masik tanaklum, that says now Rafram, Lashanoi ain't Shem apotropos. But if there's an apotropos, read Sholish, then ain't mechem mekach is gornish, just like it said in the Mishnah, masik tanaklum. So I have the famous Mishnah that says, these little kids, 8, 9 years old, they come to the bakery. I'm sorry, send in the apotropos, or at least send a note from the apotropos that I can go and sell you, otherwise I can't sell you anything. That's what Rafa said. So tomorrow, what's the right? Maybe Sholish is different than apotropos. Now you're wondering, aren't they both third-party guardians that are in charge? What's the difference? What was the major difference? So if you look at Rashi, 6 lines from the top, Shani hocha de ikas Sholish. Shenishtalish lekach upir shaloi mayasebehen. He has a specific mission, a specific duty. The father said, I'm giving you $10,000. You have to buy a piece of property. It's come heaven or high water, he's got to buy that property, whether he likes it or not. That's what the mayor said. Even though the Chusin Kala said, we're of age, we know what to buy. I don't care. The Tati told me, Yase Sholish Mashushlish Biyoda, I got to follow the rules and my mission. Aban Apotropos, says Rashi, he doesn't have a specific mission. He's just got to be there to administer the estate for whatever the assignment need. The fact that the Pu'utis took a couple of dollars to buy a loaf of bread in the bakery, that doesn't sound mishana a mission or a tzivui that the mess gave. Just like they went to go and buy the loaf of bread, if they wouldn't, then the apotropos would. Apotropos is very happy that they go and buy the bread and it relieves him of that duty. So therefore, what they are doing is not misnagay, it doesn't challenge the apotropos' duties and responsibilities. But in our case in the Mishnah, when the Kala made a request, give us the money, that certainly was a challenge to what the Sholish was supposed to do. And therefore, and the Mishnah said at the end, this whole discussion by Igdoila, by Biktana, then is nothing to talk about. It says, our Gemara, I disagree with Rafram, at least Rafram doesn't really have a raya from our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, when we say, Masik Tanak, because you have a Sholish that has a specific mission, you have to go and buy the property, don't listen to the Chusin Kala. However, in the case of the Utrais that have an apotropos, this doesn't challenge what the apotropos' job description is. His description is keep these Yisoyimim fed and happy and clothed and have a roof over their heads and have food every day. Fine, if they're able to go and obtain this on their own, well, of course, what's the problem? Zoktimara, Dom Hecha the Ika Sholishani, therefore you have no right for the Mishnah. So the Gemara says back Rafram 1 second. And Cain, if that's the case, listening, shouldn't it say at the end of the Mishnah, Abaktano, even though we had a machloikit between Rameir and Rabbi Yossi, by Gdoila. Abitana, everybody would agree to what Rameir said. Yase Sholish Mashushlash Biyodoi. Follow the rules, Sholish. Follow your mission. Do what you're supposed to do. My Imasik Tanaklum. Why does the Mishnah use such a broad, ambiguous term? Imasik Tan is Gunish. If she says Tilim is Gunish, if she Tavis Gunish, Baruch is Gunish, she does mitzvahs. Of course, there is value to what she's doing. Rather, the reason why the Mishnah uses such a blanket term, a masik tanaklum, shema mina filu ba'alma, even when there is no sholish, when you just have an apotropos who has general administrative duties and responsibilities, there too, a ketana's job, any what a pehutzois do, ein mekh mekach, ein memkh mekach, is gunish vet, ein masik tanaklum. So therefore, Rafam says, I do have a good raya for the Mishnah after all. Hamlach Matzias, each other
Matzias. So therefore, he had to accept someone's spy candy from a 6 or 8 year old kid. You shouldn't be able to affect such a sale.
It depends if there's an apotropos. If there's no apotropos, then they can sell and buy candy and even chewing gum. However, if you're talking about a case where you have apotropis, as Rafa, no, apotropis has full rights and authority over whatever the children do and over the money, they shouldn't do anything. See you tonight. Yes, 8 o'clock. It's good to Nishkit.
Rashi says that Rashi started quoting. It said,
"Actually, Ben Esther."
Yeah, and I why is Esther suddenly Ben Esther is the?
It's a very good question. So there are two answers to your question. Answer number one is talking about a person that doesn't have shtei saris, for instance, like we had back in Yevamos and Ilanis, and therefore, or the same thing would apply to a man who's a saris. So that, what point is that person considered to be a godoil for financial transactions? So Rashi says, if you don't have shtei saris, wait until 20. If you remember, we had a machlekes bisham beisil, whether it's 18 or 20, a girl or a boy.
Yeah.
But by the time you get to 20, then that person is considered to be a godoil for purposes of transactions, of being able to buy and sell karkos. That's one. Number two, there's another Mishnah Gemara, which you can have later on in Ant Sechta, as well as in Bava Basra Mi'at Hashem, that if you bought a property, then you can buy and sell it after Bar Mitzvah. If you yarshin the property, then you don't have the right to go and sell it until you're 20 years old. So that's why I'm actually saying that if it's a yarshin karka, as opposed to a bought karka, or a present, then you gotta wait until 20. But Mitzvah Hashem will get to that. And in the meantime, we go on to the next Mishnah, the next parak, Zut Mishnah. Hamadres Ishtoi Melihonis Loi. The husband and wife are obviously at loggerheads, to the point that the husband says to the wife, I make a neder that you should not have any Hano'ah from me. No Hano'ah from me. Now, that has l'chayra at least two repercussions, says Rashi. One would be Hano'ah Tashmish, that she can't live together with him based on this neder, or Hanos Mezoinus, that she won't be able to receive food based on this neder. So Rashi immediately dispenses with the first of those two and says it cannot mean Hanos Tashmish because he's Meshubed to go and provide her.
Right.
He has to go and give Tashmish.
Mas,
we're not talking about over here money, because when you're talking about money, Machlek is a Meir of Yehuda. Here we're talking about Oina, which obviously there's has no monetary value. Not negotiable. Oh, so therefore, if you look at the first Rashi, the Mishnah, even though he made this neder, Anos Tashmish doesn't become Asa. He's responsible. He can't go and go against what it says in the Torah. Hilgach v'shvil Tashmish, Englanu l'koyfa l'hoitzi v'liteng suva. So although the Mishnah says that we go and eventually, because of this neder, this is not referring to Tashmish, because his neder is not valid or effective vis-a-vis Tashmish. However, it is effective vis-a-vis Mezoinois. And that's why the Mishnah says, we're going to go and see after 30 days, what the, as we'll see in the Mishnah momentarily. But the Gemara is going to ask the same question. Ma nishtan and the Mezoinois from the case of the Tashmish. Isn't that also Masna Masha Kosa Batayra? She'era Ksus Vainosa. She'era is normally interpreted to mean food. Oina, of course, is Oina. Ksus is Ksus, that's clothing. So just like you're telling me that by Tashmish he's Meshubit, isn't he also Meshubit Legabi Mezoinois? Gemara Parach Meshubit Lot. That's going to be the Gemara as soon as we finish the Mishnah. And the Gemara is, by the way, going to give three answers. Well, let's wait until we get there. So let's get back to the Mishnah. So you have a husband that goes and says to his wife, I am so upset at you, I don't want you to have any more Hanoah from me, vis-a-vis Mezoinous, meaning I'm not going to feed you anymore. Ad Lamed Yoim Yamed Parnas. Over the next 30 days, he has to appoint, or the Bezdin has to go and appoint, a Shliach who is going to go and give her food for the next 30 days. Yes, Mikan, if during those 30 days he doesn't have a change of heart, and he's not Mater Neder, but he insists on, no, I don't want to give her any food, this marriage obviously cannot last, and Bezin says to him, Mister, give your get, give a ksuba, and move on to the next.
In the interim period, who pays for the groceries?
We're going to talk to Mitchum on the Omid Beis and Mitchum. We're going to have that in some detail. Reb Yehuda, yes.
It doesn't come from Shemayim.
No.
Except
from mana, most things do not.
Yes, so what is he accomplishing here?
Oh, very good question. Now, the second part of what you were saying is, L'choyre, if he has the halacha, that if this neder is binding on him, that he's not allowed to go and feed her, how is he allowed to go and point the shliach?
Right.
Shliach to let him kemoisa.
Right.
He's just doing it back. Okay, so we're going to talk about this in the Gemara on the Amid Beis in some details. Everybody, stay tuned in Mietzvah Shem to the Gemara. Now Rabbi Yehuda agrees partially to Tanakama, and he disagrees partially. Rabbi Yehuda says it really depends on the husband. Is he Yisrael or is he a Kohen? What difference does it make a Yisrael or a Kohen? Because we are hoping that even if Chas V'Shalom is Yoit V'Yitin Ksuba, he gives a get, that a month later or 6 months later, he's going to wake up one morning and say, what a fool. Sprinzer was really such a nice wife. She, Baruch Hashem, has all the midas of malah shekasev batoira. She's a Yirei Shemayim. She's a Tznua. She says Tillim every day. She learns Tzener Ena every week. And she's so good to the kids that, what did I do? I'm in Mishigira. And there's a reconciliation. Baruch Hashem, she didn't marry anybody else in the meantime. And they get remarried. Baruch Hashem, Masa Grushasai, Kishaloi Nisis, Kimali. That all works for Yisrael. What happens to Chas V'Shalom? It's a Koyin. Koyin can't take her back because now she's a Grusha. Even though it's his Grusha, but he can't marry his Grusha either. So therefore, Sir Behuda, for the Koyin, we give him a little bit more time to reconsider so we don't have an irrevocable type of situation where he gives her a get and now we can't remedy the situation. And therefore, Behuda, Be Yisrael, Choydeshah, Choydekai. I agree to the Tanakama. I don't know why the Tanakhama says Lamed Yoim, here it says Chodesh, but basically he's saying the same thing. 30 days, you can hold out with this neighbor, and hopefully during that time, they'll have counseling, they'll have therapy, he'll come to his senses, and he'll be able to go and take her back, and we matinee. Ushnaim, but once we go into the second month already, Yoitim eating Suba, it's already all over, just like the Tanakhama said. 1 month of parnas. After that, Yoitim eating Suba. The coin, however, we double it. Shnayim Yekayim, if you allow him 2 months' time to try to work things out, Shloisha, once you go into the third month, just like by the Yisrael. So all he's doing is he's adding one more month because of the problem that a Koyim won't be able to go and take her back. Now we go on to a new case. Hamadar is Ishtar Shloi Titoim Echem Mikol HaPeirus. Now on the surface, it sounds like very similar to the beginning of the Mishnah, that again he made a neder that she should not be able to go and eat any type of peiros. That pshat on the surface l'chayr doesn't work because he is asking her to eat any peiros. What right does he have to go and ask her from eating peiros? Maybe if he says, my peiros belong to him, but can he go and say, I don't want you to eat cherries anymore, I don't want you to eat apples or oranges anymore? What right does he have to do that? In fact, he doesn't have a right. And therefore, Rashi tells us, it's going to be a machlokes mitzvah tomorrow, Rav and Shmuel, exactly the situation. But Rashi goes with, I believe, Shmuel's pshat, we'll see mitzvah tomorrow. If you look at the Rashi, Echem Mikol HaPeirus, Koinim Pri Ploini Olai. She made this neder, and she said, I'm not going to go and eat cherries or apples or oranges or whatever. V'hukiyam lo, and he was Mekayim, and he said, Omei. When we say Kiyam, Lav Dafka, that he had to go and assert himself and say positively, yes, I agree with your neder, ishtika koidor, even if he doesn't say a word until Yom Shamay, till the end of the day, it also becomes mekuyim automatically, because he has to go and make a hafara if he's not happy, if he says nothing, or if he's mekayim it, then of course, then the neder applies. So she made the neder, even though it says hamadras ishtar, it means that he was mekayim her neder, shle titu mecha mikol haperis, yoyz v'yitin suva, if after that she says, I can't live with this neder that I made. I can't. And apparently there was no bezin that was available. So then Yoitz V'Yitin Ksuba, here we don't go and say, wait for 30 days, but give a Ksuba Miyah. Yet we'll see more about this tomorrow. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, again the same thing. Yisrael Yoyim Mechad Yikayim. 1 day, Shnayim, 2 days, Yoitz V'Yitin Ksuba, then only after 2 days. And again, because that's the same as the Tanakhama. He doesn't say Tanakam, doesn't say specifically 1 day, but that's what he means. Ubekoyin, again, 2 days, Shnayim, Mikayim, Shloishi, Yoyf, Yitzik, Suva, because we're afraid that the Koyin won't be able to be Machzik, Rishos.
Only 1 day in the first, the ratio is 1 month.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Mechim tomorrow. Hamadr Zishalei Tiskashe, Be'echem Yikol Haminim. Again, Rashi says he's talking about that she made the Neder, and he was Mekayim the Neder by his silence or by asserting, affirmative. Yeah, affirmatively, yeah, good. So what happened? She made a neder. She's not going to go and use a particular cosmetic or a particular perfume from this and this manufacturer, maybe from Calvin Klein or someone like that. She's not going to use that perfume or that cosmetic. And he allows it to happen. Once again, Yoitzvi Yitzik Suba. Then after a day, that's the end of it. It depends whether you're talking about Anioys or Ashirois. But Anioys, the women that were not wealthy apparently did not have the custom to apply cosmetics, certainly not on a regular basis. So the absence of cosmetics was not an inui nefesh, was not a problem. So here it depends whether he gave her a kitzvah or not a kitzvah. In other words, whether she gave a kitzvah for himself and he says he's mekayimit or he's mekayimit for a kitzvah. Kitzvah means for a time limit. If we had a time limit, then just wait out the time and then this neder will go away because it was only for a certain amount of time. The Gemara is going to ask again, Mitchum, tomorrow, the next day, is this unlimited? What happens if he says for the next 20 years? Is that also a kitzvah? Or is kitzvah meaning within a week or within a month? Mitchum, that the Gemara is going to explain. But if he gave a time limitation, then the neder is fine and we wait until the time expires. However, shaloi nasa kitzvah, if he didn't give a kitzvah, in other words, this goes unlimited, this neder that you made, and he's mekayimit, oh, then yoytzvi yitzik suva. Ubashiris, if you're talking about Nashira, who is wealthy, and therefore she is used to applying cosmetics and perfumes on a regular basis, that we leave it 30 days, like we had at the beginning of the Mishnah with the Mizoinis, 30 days, because hopefully within 30 days, they will be able to get back together again, and the neder will go away. If she asked him not to neder, or if she just said a neder until 30 days, but anything more than that, yoytzvi yitzik suva. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. So we already asked at the beginning of the Mishnah, he made a neder that his wife shouldn't have any hanah. For 30 days, this neder applies, but yamid parnes, after 30 days, yoytzvi yitzik suva. Great Gemara, I don't understand, this neder l'choyre is meaningless. The king of the Mishnah law, he has to supply her with mezainis. He doesn't have a choice. Either it's teraisa, because it's she'era, or it's terabonan, but certainly he has to go and give her mezainis. And therefore, echim watzimadullah. That neder l'chayre is meaningless neder. Kol kaminei, does he have the power and authority, the mafkul of Shibuda, to just forget about his obligation? But tonight, didn't we learn the Mishnah? We've quoted this Mishnah already a couple of times before. What happens now where the shoe is on the other foot? Now we're talking about the lady. If she makes a koinim, she makes a neder, she'eni uis l'ficha, then I'm not going to go and give you my masa yadayim. My masa yadayim I'm going to hold for myself. He doesn't have to be made for that. The husband doesn't have to be made for that neder because that neder is meaningless. Now, why is it meaningless? Since there is a takanas chachamim that she has to supply her masi yadayim to her husband, so she's meshubit, she's obligated. She can't go and make a neder and abrogate and violate her own rabbinic responsibilities that she has to go and give her masi yadayim. So this is a meaningless neder. So he doesn't even have to be mefer. That being the case, Ochanami, in our case, it's also meaningless. Just like she has to supply masi yadayim to him, he has to supply mezoinus to her. Even the mishubud, since he has that shibud, he can't go and just say, I'm ignoring my obligations, I'm not going to go and supply her with me. He has to give him mezoinus. So l'chori, this neder is meaningless, just like the wife's neder, if she said about masi yadayim, is meaningless. Ain't a tzarich la'afer. When he makes the parallel neder, it's also meaningless. Good takash. The Gemara is going to answer for three turns. Terence number one. El mitoich sheyocho loimla. He could say to her, "See masi yadayich mezainisayich. Baruch Hashem, you're making a nice parnasa. Your parnasa goes and covers your mezainis. You know what? Let's not do this quid pro quo. I give you the mezainis, you masi yadayim, keep it. You keep your masi yadayim, you buy whatever you want, and buy every single day, three meals, whatever you need, and I'm not going to hand over to you, you don't have to over to me, and just keep it. Since he could say, Shiyocha loimala, nase ke oimala, it's as if, Hitaka didn't say it. Says Taprashi, Avagab deloy omar, even though he didn't say, Tzi masi yadayim bezayin yasayich. But we're going to read into his words. When he made a neder in our Mishnah, Madis, Ishmael, Honis, Ay, Shloishim, Yoim, you know what he meant, you know what he said, what he could have, would have, should have said. We deem it as if he said, Tzi Mas Yadayim, Mazin Yasayich, I make a neder, I'm not going to give you Mazinus, because Baruch Hashem, you have Mas Yadayim, your Mas Yadayim will cover your meals, and Shalom Al Yisrael. I'm sorry?
You shouldn't have to divorce her.
And not only that.
Why does he need a parnas?
What do you need a parnas for if there's enough masi yadayim to go and cover her budget for food? What do you need a parnas? Parnas, go home, who needs it? That's what I was going to ask that kasha. Zoktimar. So the chayr, we have our first teretz. He didn't say the words, but we deem it as if he said, "Si masi yadayim from the Yisrael." Pray tomorrow. No, if that's the case, remember we had a gemara before. Where did we have this gemara before? with daf nun aleph. What does it say? V'emisa lahod rav huna marav. The Omer Vuna Marav. What does it say on the side? It's Nun Ches. Anyway, what did Vuna Marav say? Yechoy le'ishu toymu le'baal le'im nizoynis ve'in o'isa. Oh, so this is now the reverse. Instead of the husband saying to the wife, you know what, I'm not going to give you mezoynis. Tzi mas yedayach mezoynis ayach. The wife can go and say to the husband, you've been supplying with mezoynis. I don't need your mezoynis. I need mezoynis ve'in o'isa. Don't give mezoynis, and I won't have to supply to you my mas yadayim, because Baruch Hashem, my salary is a very nice salary. I make more than the mezoynis that you give me, so you keep your mezoynis. What is the halacha? What did Vuna Marav say? A person, a lady can say, so back on the Amid Beis, when we had in the Mishnah, that she says, koinim shani oyis l'ficha. What did we say? The husband ain't a tzarech l'hafer. Why am I in a tzarech lahafer? Lema, why don't we say that same type of approach? So since Rav Huna Marav says she has the right to go and say, I'm keeping my mas yadayim, so why don't we say that when she makes such a koinim, I'm keeping my mas yadayim, I don't want you to have those mas yadayim. Go and interpret it the same way and say, nasa ka'oimer, as if she said, nasa kimisha meris loy, ain't nezoidis veni oisa. Just like over here, it doesn't say a word in our Mishnah about tzi mas yedayach from zaynisayach, but that's how we are phrasing and interpreting it, so we should interpret the koinim shani ois laficha the same way. And therefore, this would be an effective statement, and if he's not happy with it, tzarech lahafer. Why does it say in the Mishnah, ain't it tzarech lahafer? So Timara, you have a good point. And therefore, eloloi teima nase. Don't learn like we've said until now, that when it says in the Mishnah, Hamadar Sishma Lehonis, like, Nas, it says, if he said, Tzi Mas Yadav, who's in the Sayyid, we're talking about Takib Oimullah, even though it doesn't say in the Mishnah. You have to add that Beini Chiti between Hashurais, like in Rav's letter, add a parenthesis in our Mishnah, Hamadar Sishma Lehonis, like, how did he do it? He can't do that. He's Meshubadullah. Oh, Kigoin, that he told her, Tzi Mas Yadav, who's in the Sayyid, he said those words, and since our Gemara holds that he has the right to say that, so then he's saying, no more mezaynis, I make a neder. Why? Because you have enough mas yadayim, which covers your mezaynis.
Does he have the right to initiate that? She has it according to Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav.
Correct.
But he, as the shibud of Sherek Sisva Ona, does he have the right to abrogate that and initiate this?
Gemara is saying yes.
Okay.
That he's allowed to say tzi mas yadayim mezaynis, and that's our Mishnah. And if somebody would ask Ilfa, where do we find in the Mishnah what we just learned in the Gemara, Tzi Mas Yadayach Mezoynis Sayach, we're learning from our Mishnah. Because otherwise, Meshubadullah. You'd be able to say, we have arrived from our Mishnah. But Baruch Hashem, Ilfa was only asked the question that we had before. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, but now the question that was raised earlier, Parnas Lomola. If you're telling me that, in fact, Baruch Hashem, the Mas Yadayim that she retains for herself is enough to cover the Mezoynis, and that's why he no longer has a Shibud to supply Mezoynis, because he can go and say, keep your mas yadayim, cover your expense for the mezaynis, so what do you need the parnas for? Baruch Hashem, she has enough. Every more below safka, the mas yadayim is taka generous, but it's not enough to cover everything that she would like to have and her meals. It covers 80%, 90%, but doesn't cover the full 100%, and therefore, if he made this type of statement, he still has to go and give that differential, that discrepancy. Frank Timura, really? She still doesn't have enough? Then we start the Gemara all over again. The whole benefit of this teretz was that he no longer has a shibud, because Baruch Hashem, she has enough money to cover her expense for her mezaynis, and therefore he can make such a neder like it says in the Mishnah, and we have to hold out for 30 days, and if there's no reconciliation, then he has to go and give again. But in the meantime, the statement, the neder, was an effective statement. It wasn't a meaningless statement. But you're telling me she doesn't have enough money because the mas yadayim is insufficient. If that's the case, Vayter, doesn't he have a shibud for that 5 or 10% or 20%? And therefore, Vayter, how is this neder a meaningful neder? Amar Ravashi, the maspekas ledvorim gedoyim, it's enough to go and keep to cover the main courses. But not for the kleinekayim, for the small things. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us exactly what those small things are, but the Mefarshim say, like, a fancy dessert or something, that you can live without fancy desserts. You can have just regular kumquat. You don't have to have triple layer ices on top of seven layer cake for dinner every night. So, the Dvarim Ketanim, there's not enough money from her Mas Yadayim. The Mas Yadayim covers the basics, but not the luxuries. So, break tomorrow. I want you to explain to me a little bit more about the nature of the Masidayim, of the Dvarim Ketanim. Hani Dvarim Ketanim Heichidam. Either a Gilabu, if she normally has been eating it, of course she comes from that type of background, she comes from a rich household, or ever since they've been married, they've been eating this very nice and wonderful dessert, if not daily, at least once a week, or whatever. Haragilabu, so if that's the case, isn't that already included in the Dvarim Gedolim? Because since she's Rogel, that's her normal diet, if you will. Doesn't he have to supply that? Because that's the normal, that's the Oyrech, that's the Derech Eretz, that's the normal custom. And if you can tell me, no, she doesn't normally have that. Yeah, once a year, maybe on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur, he offers her such a beautiful dessert. But not throughout the year. He's a Parnas Lomo. What do you have to have a Parnas to go and supply things that she doesn't apply to her anyway? She doesn't normally eat these types of desserts, so what do you need a Parnas? There's a Malay Tzricha, the Regila Beis Nasha. She was brought up in a family where, Baruch Hashem, they did have these types of luxurious desserts from time to time. They call the Galgula Bahadei. And after they got married, he did not supply that to her, even though he said in the Gemara, V'hibulas Baal, Baliosoi Shel Baal V'loi Berindosoi, that he has to go and maintain her same standards. However, she felt he has enough wonderful attributes and character traits, I'm going to put up with not having this luscious, delicious dessert from time to time. Become a Galgo Badei, she's allowing to roll with the ball, to roll with the punch, whatever the fancy expression is, and therefore I'm willing to go and live with this and abstain from having these fancy desserts. The Amalei, now she says to her husband, I want you to know, Ada Idna, until now, Adrasan, that you didn't make a neder, Kalgilna Bahadok. I was willing to live with this situation. I was always used to having these fancy desserts, a piece of Napoleon and a nice cherry on top, and I haven't had that for the last 5 years, but okay. Baruch Hashem, you're Tamid Chochem, and you're Mechanach the children, and you're nice Balmidas. I was willing to put up with that. But Hashadatan, once you make such a neder, let me see the Galbadok. Now I can't take it anymore. It's similar, if you will, to the Gemara that we had before, that there's a difference between Mishiyesh Le Pas Basal and Eim Le Pas Basal. Even if the wife happens to be a Nida, and she says, I'm making a Nida, then I have to have, not to have Tashmish. Can't have Tashmish anyway, she's a Nida. It's one thing that she naturally she cannot live. But she takes a stand and says, no, I'm not going to live with you. No, Eina Doime Pas Basal, Eina Pas Basal. This is a similar type of concept. She could have lived for the next 100 years without having these desserts, but by the fact that he made this neder, that triggered her right to go and say, I want to have the same standards that I had in my father's home, I want to have those desserts, and I insist on it. And our Mishnah says he has to supply the parnas for those dvarim ketan.
When he says, this back to many questions before, Chimasi Adech Ben Zonosaya. So, why is it the divorce then? He's allowed to say that. And so therefore you don't need
he's legally allowed to, and that's why the neder is effective. However, the wife says to the husband, I can't go and live with a husband like that, so making nedarim against me. I want to be able to go and have a nice, happy lifetime with you, and instead of you making nedarim. Even though you have the legal right to go and say Tzimas Yadach Ben Nisayach, but I can't live under those circumstances.
So she can say, she can go back to him and say, I'm out of here.
Exactly. Especially because she wasn't getting the Dvarim Ketanim.
Right.
So then the Gemara says, okay, so get a Parnas who's going to supply it. That's a 30-day remedy. And an extension. During that time, hopefully the reconciliation, she'll have a dessert once a week and everything is great and everything is wonderful. But she can go and say, I can't live with that forever. I can only live with this temporarily. And after 30 days, she can insist on a yet. He thinks, if there's reconciliation, getting back to our Gemara, Zok Gemara, why does the Mishnah give us the 30-day period? Why don't we say, Lamush like I'm buying the pay raise? The same day, you know, put up or shut up, go and give me my dessert, otherwise forget about it. Zok Gemara, Ad Lamajoyim, Leishami Ba'inchi, Leizila Ba'milza. After all, people are always worried about their reputations in the community, and they don't want to be the source of gossip, shame, and humiliation. So she figures, until 30 days, the word won't get out that he made this neder, and then I have to have a parnas who's buying for me desserts from time to time. What do people have to know about it? Hopefully, within 30 days, we'll have therapy, we'll have reconciliation, marital counseling, and we'll work it out, and Shalom Yisrael. But after 30 days, unfortunately, word does leak out, Rachmana Litzlan, and people are going to hear about it. And so therefore, after 30 days, she says, okay, that's the end of it. Give me a get. Sayonara. And we move on. So with this, we have concluded the first teret. The kasha was, how can he make such a neder in the first place? It's meaningless. He's mishubidla. And the answer is talking about that he used the expression, it's enough to cover 99%, but not the dvarim ketanim. Dvarim ketanim, you have to put up a parnas, but you can't live like that. And therefore, after 30 days, either work it out or give it.
Sayonar.
Igma yisema teretz number two. Shehidira kisharusa. You know when he made the neder that I am madir not to give you mezoinis? When they were still Oris Varusa. Now we know an Oris doesn't have a duty to go and give the Arusa any food. So therefore the Neder is Chal immediately. The Prefect Yimara, so why does he have to give a get? Arusa Miyislam Mazainis, she's not entitled to Mazainis. So what's her, why is she complaining? Anyway, she's not going to get Mazainis during the Arusin period. Right. So do you want to give Zman Valinis? It's talking about we're already past the 12 months. Now it comes time to get married. There was not Nisuin yet.
Right.
We're now in this twilight period. Post Arison, pre Nisuin, no, he's not ready yet. He's on a business trip. He doesn't have time. The Kedush, what's halacha? We've already learned this a couple of times. We had this back in that days. The Nadi Giyas Mavelin Nisay Oichlis Mishaloi Ba Oichlis Betruma. Now he has to start supplying food, and if he's a kohen, she can eat betruma, simpoin, and namasa with Timatashke. We had that whole discussion before. Okay, so what's the halacha now? So the 30 days have passed. She's oichas mishalai. The husband now makes, not that he makes a new neder, he already made this neder from before when she was in Arusa. Now the neder has a practical effect, and she said, you're not marrying me, you're not doing this soon, at least give me mezoinis. So I made a neder. I can't live with that type of neder. Okay, I'll give you a parnas. He'll go and give you food for the next 30 days. What's going to happen after those 30 days? Either change your mind, take away your neder, otherwise, sayonara, get and ksub. Why does she have to wait 30 days? Why can't she say, I can't live with a neder like that. Here, I want to get married to you. It's already past 12 months. You're refusing to do nisu and you make a neder. Ah, let's cut it right here. Here, we're not worried about any potential humiliation because over here, people don't know yet that 12 months have passed. After all, people don't put down in the calendars, oh, the Arison was back a year ago. A year has passed. He hasn't done nisuin yet. They just figure out, you know, I don't know, I'll get my invitation in the mail shortly. I'll get my email, which opens up automatically. It's for pre and all the rest. Anyway, so when I get my invitation, I'll know when the chasen is. So the fact that it takes another 30 days or 60 days or 90, no, nobody really knows when they were supposed to get nisuin. So the fact that he made a neder, now it's chal and oichel mishaloi and all that, it's not known. So the humiliation factor that we had in the previous teretz, l'chayr, doesn't apply here. And therefore, says the Gemara, I have a new reason. Because up to 30 days, we can rely on the parents to go and supply the food. Now, why is that? So we'll see in Mechem and the Gemara another few lines. He doesn't actually appoint a shliach. It's more of a Boy Scout type of individual who sees that things are at loggerheads between the husband and wife, and he says, I'll take care of it. This taken care of, he's a nice guy, a Boy Scout, but he can't expect him to do this for the next 50 years. The next 30 days, he'll do it. But after 30 days, he's going to say, yeah, I tried my best. You know, if you can't work out a settlement between the two of you, give a get, and we're done. So that's pshat number two in our Mishnah. How was the neder chal mishubidla during the period of Arison? He's not mishubidla. But what about, how is the neder chal, how does it work after the year is over? Why don't they say at that time, mishubidla, so the neder should fall away? So Rashi addresses this issue on the third and fourth line from the top of the Yom Shigiyas Man Vele Nisai. The Midarai Salim Meshubidla, the only Chiyav of She'er Ksus Va'oina, only is triggered at the time of Nisuin, not at the time of the year passing. The Fichachal Neder, the Isadir Aisahu. When he makes a Neder, it has a status like an Isadir Aisah, I can no longer supply with food. Aye, what about the din of the 12 months? Umidrabanan Chayiv Lezoina. Midrabanan, after 12 months pass, if he hasn't gone and called a date for the chasana, then he has to go and give him his oinus. Oh, because they have a ficha yamid parnas. So that's why the parnas is here. Not for the dvarim ketanim like the first teretz. Here it's to be mekayim the drabanan. The diraisa, he cannot give her food. He made a neder. But midrabanan, he has to supply with food because 12 months have passed. For that, I'll go and appoint a parnas for the 30 days. Why did he appoint a parnas for 60 days? Because shloishim yom avit shliach shlichusei.
And please,
even though it says Yamid,
you asked that question before, and I said we're going to get to it. Yeah, the boy you say, man. Now we're up to teretz number three. Sheidira kishi arusa. He made a neder when she was arusa. Not 12 months passed. Baruch Hashem, they had nisuim and issus, and they got married. And now the neder that he made before l'chayda now has effect after they got married. And that's why in our mishnah we say 30 days we can hold out. After that, yoytiv eating suba. Freitimor, 1 second. Nisus hasav rekimla. If he already made this neder at the time of Eruset, and the Gemara is assuming she heard about the neder, he advised her of that neder. So then, how did she engage in nisuin in the first place? She should say, "I can't. I mean, as Eruset, that's fine because I get supplied by my parents. But once it's nisuin, you better go and give me money. I can't live without money. I don't have a job. And even if I have a job, it doesn't enough. Brother Shai, you were looking for the gentleman before.
Oh.
And even if they have a job, it's not enough to go and cover anything." The Amra, so wasn't she, once she accepted the Nisuin, isn't that automatically a waiver? And she says, "Yo, I am makabel this neder of my husband." And furthermore, the Amra kisfura anishi ani yichoy lekabel. Initially, she said, "I thought that I could go and be makabel this type of neder. I thought I could work it out. But once I have the Nisuin, I see, I can't show Satan, I can't." And therefore, says the Gemara, that's why she says now to the husband, "You know, either you supply with the mezainis or cut bait, we have to have a get." Pray Timura, where did I ever hear such a svara? I thought you chol lekabel, and I realize now I ain't a mekabel. Gabe mumin, ema demrin and hachi gabe mumin, that he heard about her that she has a scar on the belly of there, buz van me. That's not going to bother me. And then, unfortunately, after they have their first bia, he says, "Yeah, it's like it does bother me." So then we have that svara by mumin. Then you mezainim me amrin and hachi. After all, every woman knows there's no way you're going to survive if you don't have mezainis. You can fast once in a while, but you can't fast every day of the week. If he's not going to survive with the mezainis, she's going to starve. So how can you go and say kesvur anishi yechoy lekabel? How do you even have such a havamin? So machmar tekevishin mekar ein achanami. This third teretz of the chayra abis hashvacha teretz, and therefore we have the first two terutzim, the teretz that we start in the Yomid Aleph, and the second teretz here in the Yomid Beis. The
second teretz is slightly inconsistent with the lashon of the Mishnah. It says Yomid Parnas. You got to establish, set one up. It's tzivui.
So let's talk about the Parnas, and then we'll get back to your question. So let's talk about the Parnas. Shloishim yom Yomid Parnas. Right tomorrow, Uparnas lach lichusik ka'ovid. I have an even more basic question. The husband is saying, "I make a neder. I'm not going to supply you with mezayin. But don't worry, I won't give it to you directly. I'm going to go and appoint a third party, and he's going to give you the money. He's going to give you the mezainis." No, isn't that the same thing? Shliach shladim kamoisai. What's the meaning of his neder that I'm not going to give you food if he appoints a partner? Amar Rav Huna bi'oimer kolazon einei mafsid. It's talking not a situation where he appointed a shliach. If he would appoint an apotropis, a sholish, a parnis, avada, that's the same thing as if he's giving the food himself, and his neder says, "I'm not going to give you food." So that doesn't work. It's talking about that he made a declaration. A boisai, anybody that takes upon himself on a volunteer basis to go and give a food, any mafsid, he doesn't have to worry. He won't lose out at the end. Which is suggesting, of course, that I will eventually pay him. But he didn't say that directly. He's just saying, "You take care of her, ain't a mafsid." Pray tomorrow. Isn't that deemed to be just like a silent shlichus? But then didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Mishayim mushlach b'bar, a person nebuch down in the bar. The Omar, and he screams out, "Kol shemei koyle, whoever hears my voice, yichdiv get li ishtai, go and write a gift for my wife, because I see I'm not going to survive this. The helpers are not able to extract me from the bar. Write a gift for my wife." What's the halach? They should go and write a gift for the wife. So what is this story? This kol shemei koyle is like kol hazon ein mafsid. Whoever hears me, I'm not appointing a shliach. Anybody who hears me should go and write a get, and somebody volunteers and writes a get and gives it to him, and it works. You can only go and give a get on behalf of somebody else if he appoints you as a shliach. So you see, when you say kol hashemeya, that has the legal equivalent to saying, "I appoint you." Yeah. So the same thing, kol hazon, isn't that saying, "I appoint you"? So we're back to square one. Isn't it a shliach?
It's different. A get is a one-time thing, one man, one woman, one marriage. Zon is, you know, a crowd. The crowdsource her support among 50 people or something.
Yeah, theoretically, the Gemara could have given that terrace, but the Gemara apparently doesn't.
It's consistent with the lashon of the Mishnah. It says Yamid. He has to step one up, not just yell out in the vent and maybe someone will pick it up.
You're asking is a good question. Let me ask you. This is a madras tishtim ilhanis light. Does it say anywhere in the Mishnah, Tzi mas yudayich ben tzayich? But you, that's the way the Gemara interprets. That's what they want. So here also, when he says Yamid Parnas, means by saying Kolazah.
Okay.
But we see from the case of Kol HaShemeah that it has the status of Eli Yichtav Yitnu. So it's a Shliach, it's a Mahalchi Ashna. We can make a distinction. Hazan Ka'omar Yichtav, Hachami Ka'omar Yozan, Kolazan Ka'omar. There, what did he go and say? Kol HaShemeah, Kol Yichtav. If you hear my voice, I appoint you as a Shliach to go and write a get. Here he didn't say, whoever hears my voice, I appoint you as a Shliach to go and give her Mizaynas. He said Kolazan. For instance, if you would have said, Kol Misha Koisev Get Lo Yafsid, then that would be a nice parallel to our case. But he didn't say that. You hear my voice, you're the guy. Just like by Ilfen Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan heard it, he's the one that gets the message. If you heard my voice, that means you get the message from me. Write a get, so you appointed him as a shliach. So he wrote a get, so you can't compare the two cases. Freitimovam Rabami, I have another kasha. Rabbi said, "Bidleke tiru loymar." What happens if in the Chachas Hashem there's a fire on Shabbos, and then a person sees that his whole house is going to burn down, and now guess what happens? Now a goyish fire man comes by, and he says, "Kol mechaber ein mafsid." I'm not going to tell you to go and put out the fire. Amir la'akim is aser, but whoever's going to do a kibbutz ein mafsid, he's not going to lose out. So what's the halacha? Bomer of Ami bidleke tiru loymar kol mechaber ein mafsid. Isn't that coming to exclude our case? By Dleika, you can say Kola Machaba. But in the case of a husband and wife, you cannot say Kola Zon. So the Chayyur that defeats our Teretz, that Rav Huna said, Kola Zon in a Masid. When he said, Bidleike Tiru is to not in our case, Lamuti Shar Isurim the Shabbos. It's talking about other Isurim Shabbos. For instance, a person sees that it's going to rain on Sunday. This will be a perfect day on Shabbos to go and quickly seed the ground. So he makes a statement. Rabbi said, I cannot seed the ground after all. That's Zereah, first or the second of the Lamed Tes Malachas. But anybody, meaning any Gentile that's going to seed the ground, ain't a master. Are you allowed to do that? No. Bidlei Keitiru, and not by Zeriah, and not by Ketzira, and not by anything else. But nothing to do with Amish. A person in Nebuch Mudar had no mechaber. In other words, they had a dispute between them, and one said to the other, I'm not going to give you any more money, I'm not going to support you, no more loans, no more handouts, no more food. Goodish. And Nebuch, the other person, the recipient, Nebuch, he's hungry. And the first person has a chamanas in him. And he says, I'd really like to help him, but unfortunately I made a neder. What should we do? So he can go to his regular storekeeper that he usually does business with. He says, you know Mr. Smith, he's one of your customers. Unfortunately, he has no money, he has no food, and he can't, and he gets no food stamps. It's gefer. And I can't help him out because I'm Mudarnot.
Who's Mudarnot from who?
Mr. Smith and Mr. Jones.
No, I'm saying this, but who is the poor person? Is Mudarnot from the rich person or vice versa?
The person that is suffering is not allowed to receive anything from the person that is Baruch Hashem, who's generous of spirit.
Who is generous of spirit
made the neder.
It doesn't matter.
For us.
Because the language of the Gemara is, he, the poor person, refuses hana from me.
Not that he refuses, a mudr. He's not allowed to receive hana because he's a neder.
Okay.
And that neder is hovering and inhibiting him from taking hana. Okay. So now, but the other person wants the mahanim, but he cannot be mahanim. Why not? It's nachtor and dry for a minute. It can trick him. It can zitzen and write and learn it in. Aber ich habe beten nisha nisha to mafriz on it. It says the Gemara. By him, like ish ploini muda nami many. When you did my esle, I can't help him. What do I do? So now, that's what he told the chenveni. So who knows him? Like the chenveni can go and supply him with food. Ubo benoitel miza. And after that, he'll go and charge the other guy that said I'd like to help him, but I can't. And I don't have money. But he does it through...
He launches it.
It's almost like Kolazon Eina Mafsid. It's not Mamish Kolazon Eina Mafsid, but he's saying to the Chenveni, if you supply him, don't worry. I'd love to supply myself, but I can't. Maybe you can help me out. You know, that's like the story that I had with my doorman I told you on Shabbos, right? 25 years ago, when my kids were young, the Shabbos light, the light was on in the room on Shabbos, and they wanted to go to sleep, but the light was on in the bedroom. So I called up the doorman from downstairs, and they said, Mikey, as you'll see, nicht so klug, he's not so smart. I said, Mikey, you know, today is Shabbos. Oh, I know, mister, I know Shabbos. Yeah, Sabbath, I know. And I'm not allowed to turn on the light and turn off the light at Shabbos. Yeah, I know, mister, I know. Yeah, I know. You're Sabbath observant. Yeah, yeah. I said, my children are trying to sleep, and the light is on, and I can't turn the light off, and they can't sleep. Oh, Mr. Nari, I see you really have a problem. Oh, yeah, yeah. He turns around, and he goes downstairs back to his normal position. Okay, that's what, but I wasn't allowed to tell him directly. There's no Benamiza. But he didn't accept the hint. What am I supposed to do? Shine. Here, the Chen Vini Boch Hashem Yenakli Gemench. He told him, Smith Nebuch, Yankel Nebuch is suffering, Hotnish was Se'es, and Ekenish, and Kenish. And Ich Ben Buddha, no, I'm not allowed to go and supply him with any. No. What should I do? Says the Chen Vini, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And the Chen Vini Taka supplies him with food, and then afterwards he charges the account of the nice guy that brought this case to him in the first place. It's mashma. This is the only way that you can figure it all out. Why didn't the Braisa over there, this or Rabami, why did he, wasn't Rabami, Mosav Rabba from a Braisa, why did he have to go to a Chenveni? He could have made an announcement, just like we said in our Mishnah that it works, you have no right. Not only in the case of Kalazon, there it certainly works, because he doesn't designate anybody in particular. He just goes and makes this amorphous general statement, Kalazon Einim Mafsid. That's permissible. Aval Hai by the Chenveni, Kibin the Rogel Etzloi, remember the Braisa says, Hamud Amano, and he goes to the Chenveni, a Rogel Etzloi, the Kozel Kaomale, Kimandi Omale Zil Havle At Dami. It's just a nice way of saying to him in his ear, I want you to go and give him. I can't say it. You know I can't say it. But you know what I mean. Please give him food. I would think that that's an isser because of the Mudr Hanoa Mechavei, right? Kamash Olan, as long as he doesn't say expressly, it's still okay. But Kalazan also works. So when it says in the Mishnah that he's Mamed, it doesn't mean literally Mamed. It means that he says Kalazan in a Mafsid, and afterwards he pays him back subsequently. And now from here to the bottom of the Yomit, the Gemara basically just repeats what we had now, this Mudra no mechaveiroi, in slightly more detail. Hufa, ha-mudra no mechaveiroi, la-im le-ma yoichol, hoi-le-chetzim, chan-veni, ha-rogel etzloi, va-oim lo ish ploini mudra no me-mani, v'ni yudea ma-esaloi, I'd like to help him, ich-konish, I can't, I feel bad for him, what can we do? So the chan-veni, ha-no-is-aloi, u-ba, v'no-it-lo-mizeni, afterwards he takes payment from this generous fellow who brought this case to the fore. And we have identical cases. Beisa Livnois, Ugdeira Ligdar, Visadeo Liktsar. You have Nebuch, this Mudr Hanoa person. He has to do renovations to his house because there's a leak. Or he has to go and put up a fence that fell down. Or he has to do Katsir, he has to harvest his field. And unfortunately, he can't hire workers. He has no money. He's disabled. Whatever the situation is. And the other generous guy would like to help him out. But he's Mudr Hanoa. What should he do? Again, he can go to workers or regilim etzloi, like the chenveni or rogel etzloi, peyalim regilim etzloi. He tells him the same story. Ish pleni mudr hanor mimeni. This fellow is mudr hanor. Ven yedei my esed. I don't know how I can help him because I'm mudr hanor. What should I do? What my esaloi? So again, he knows him. They'll do all of the work. And then afterwards, they'll come back to him and they'll give him the bill and they'll charge him. Now, what happens if you have a Yom Halchan Baderach? Again, the Madr and the Mudr, they're walking together, they're traveling, Baderach, Ve'enimoy, and unfortunately, Enimoy Yoichal. Nebuch, the Nebuch guy, has no food. He didn't make sandwiches, he has no food with him, he has no money, and there's no 9-11, no 7-11. Where is he going to buy from? It's Noisimli Acher. So, what they can do is, if there's a third person also in their company, so then the generous guy, Noisimli Acher, the Shumatan, he says, I have an extra sandwich, I give it to you for a matan. Huh? And the whole time they hear growling from Yankel Smith, oh, Nebuch, I have nothing to eat, I'm so hungry. So then the third guy who received that matana, instead of eating the sandwich for himself, he gives it to him, and that's okay, because after all, he didn't do it directly, he did it. So he back keep it, and it works. The main shomacher, what do we do if there's no third party? Vassal matan. He puts it on the stone, on a big boulder, or on Gabi Geder, he hangs it from the fence. Hefker! Now the other guy now can go and take it. That's also permissible. Again, this is just an expansion on what we were learning a moment ago.
It doesn't seem like it should work, but I guess.
In which case? In the Hefker case? So Brother Shai is Mechamet to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, he said, no, the Hefker case, it doesn't work. Amar Rav, my time to be. I said, why doesn't it work? After all, he makes it hefker, and the other guy is zeichem and hefker. Because of the famous case of Beis Chayrin. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us what the Beis Chayrin story was. And even Rashi says, look it up in the Dorim Perek HaShifim, what's the case? So, Baruch Hashem, I looked it up. I didn't really look it up. I looked at the Oscar. And he brings a case from Masechet Dorim, the Beis Chayrin. What was the story over there? He had a person who, unfortunately, was at loggerheads with his father, Nebuch. And the son, who is at loggerheads with his father, is making chasana for his son. And he would like that his father should attend the chasen of an einikel. Every zayde wants to be the chasen of an einikel, right? So, but he can't go and invite his father to come because he's mudr hanor. Unfortunately, he made him later. So what did he do? So he goes over to Yankel and says, Yankel, do me a favor. I'm going to go and hand over lock, stock, and barrel, the whole wedding hall and all the meals and the band and the musicians and the photographers and everything. All, it's all yours. All yours. Now it all belongs to you. And I'm going to go and send an invitation to my father to come to the chasana, because it's no longer having an offer from me. It's having an offer from you. Yankel Smith is no fool, and he says to him, oh, you give it all to me. I would like to be makdish this entire chasana now for the Beis HaMikdash. I heard the Beis HaMikdash is making their annual campaign right before Yom Meroim. I'm going to be makdish the whole thing. Are you nuts? I don't want you to be makdish Beis HaMikdash. I need this for my chasana. I have 500 guests that are coming, don't I? Oh, so the reason why you're giving it to me, because you want me to be the goy, the Shabbos goy, that I should go and have your father come and launder the hanor. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to go and be the goy over here. Says the Mishnah, you're not allowed to do that anytime you give somebody a present or you say it belongs to you. But it's only out tonight. The person cannot be makdish at the gevoya, heina matona, is gunish vet, and therefore that etzah doesn't work. Says Rabbi Yossi, if you're going to allow a person to go and be mafkir and say anybody can go and take it, there are no other people to take it. The whole world is in China and in India, but there's nobody over here together with me, ala derech. It's only the two of us. When I make it hefker, who's going to be zoichem the hefker? Avada, the other fellow, this Yankel Smith, who Nebuch is hungry. He's going to be zoichem. So it's as if I'm giving it to him directly. If I'm going to go and say that this is mitter, they'll say in the case of the Beis Chayrin, that's also mutter. And that's why I'm saying it's awesome.
So,
have a wonderful day.
So therefore we conclude here that it's...